Turn with me, if you would, now to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to continue here in Colossians. And I love this verse of Scripture. I've always loved this. Verse 28 is where we will pick up. And it begins by saying, whom we preach. That's the title of this message. Whom we preach. The Apostle Paul here is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were just in verse 27. The end of that verse says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. He said, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Christ is our message. I know that this is going to sound strange. I know it does, but there are many preachers who don't really know what they preach. Really. There are many hearers who don't really know what they believe. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, I'm preaching him. We preach him. Whom we preach. How many different ways can I say it? Same thing over and over again. Same thing. I've been asked the question before, what do you all believe? What do you all believe? Honestly, we don't believe a what. We really, there are some what's involved in it. But we believe a who. Whatever who says, that's what we believe. A more accurate question for people to ask would be, really, people ought to ask this. Who do you all believe? That'd be a more accurate question. Do you believe God or man? Who do you all believe? Do you believe God's word or man's word? Do you preach God's work in salvation or do you preach man's work in salvation? I'll go ahead and answer it. We preach God's work in salvation. We preach Christ crucified. That's what we preach. We preach Him. We preach Him. We preach His Word no matter what it says. No matter what it says. In the Song of Solomon, it says his hair is black as a raven. And in Revelation 1, it says his hair is white as wool. Which one do we preach? Both. Wait a minute, which one is it? Both. Turn over to Acts 24 with me. Let me show you something. Acts 24, verse 14 says, again, this is the Apostle Paul, and he said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, and that means division, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. All things. We believe everything that He has said in this Word. Every word of it. Every word of it. This right here is absolute truth. This is absolute truth. False religion consists of, all right? False religion is built on. This is where men and women go wrong. This is what causes them to be in a false religion. They only believe part of what He has said. That's the root cause of all of it. All error. You can find a little bit of truth in all of them. They don't believe all that He has said. Every different false religion is built on believing part of what He has said. And you'll find this to be so. This one believes this part, but they don't believe the rest of it. That's this one. This one believes this part, but they don't believe the rest of it. This one believes this part, but they don't believe the rest of it. True believers believe all things that He has written in His book. What makes a person a believer? He or she believes God. They believe God. Every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. Every word. Now, I don't make a habit out of doing this, but I'm going to tell you this to prove a point. A few years ago, a man was trying to disprove some scriptures that I had quoted. And that was so strange to me. I thought, why would you want to do that? But he was trying to disprove some scriptures by sending me other scriptures. I'm sure you've had people do that. You know, well, what about this one? He was texting them to me, other scriptures. My reply to him on every single one of them was, Amen! Exclamation point. He was sending scriptures. I believed everything that he sent to me. He'd send me a scripture. He didn't add anything to it. He would just send a scripture and I'd say, Amen! I believed everything he sent to me. I guess because he did not believe the scriptures that I was quoting, he thought that I wouldn't believe the scriptures he was quoting. Not so. I was in full agreement with him. He just wasn't in full agreement with me. If you ever have somebody come up to you and say, well, what about this scripture? Amen. Amen. We believe all things. If our Lord has said it, amen. We believe Him. We preach Him. We preach every word He has said. And we preach Him in every word He has said. We preach every word. And we preach Him in every word. Let me show you what I mean by that. Go with me, if you would, to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 13, it says, And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now watch verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, what did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If you look at verse 44, he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We preach him in all of his word. All of his word. I've told you before the story of that young man who was called on to fill the pulpit while the pastor was away. So he did. And after the service was over, he went up to one of the elders in the congregation and he said, What did you think of my sermon? And the aged man said to him, I thought it was a very poor sermon. And the young man said, Poor? Why did you think it was poor? Did you think my delivery was lacking? He said, No, your delivery was fine. He said, Well, did you think that I did not put the time into study? He said, No, your notes were very well organized. He said, Well, then why did you think my sermon was poor? The aged man said, It was poor because Christ wasn't in it. The young man said, Well, Christ wasn't in the text. The aged man said, Son, Christ is in every text of Scripture. In every portion of Scripture, there is a road that leads to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And our business is to find that road and get on it. That's our business. Find that road and get on it. We only preach one thing. Christ. His word, His work, His glory. We preach Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I have determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. By God's grace, the same goes for us. By God's grace, we preach Christ. He's our message. He is our doctrine. He is our gospel. Paul told the Romans, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel of Christ to you. He told Titus, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Who is our Savior? Who is God our Savior? Jesus Christ is. Turn with me over to 2 John, just before Revelation. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 2 John. Verse 9, 2 John verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ." If a man stands up and preaches anything other than Christ, he's transgressing. Christ is our doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. You will find this so often. People love to talk doctrine. They want to talk doctrine. Doctrine means words. It means teaching. And people love to talk doctrine all the time. Honestly, this is the honest case. The simplicity, and that means the single focus, the singular focus of Jesus Christ, that's our doctrine. That's our doctrine. Verse 9 says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." That's serious, isn't it? That is serious. That's why we preach Christ. Woe be unto us if we preach not Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I could ask it this way. What is the hope of glory? Here it is. Christ crucified. Christ crucified. It's not just the fact that he was crucified. Everybody knows and believes that he was crucified. It's why he was crucified. Why was Christ crucified? Why was Christ crucified? Why was Christ crucified? Here's the reason why. It's because I am a totally depraved sinner. That's the reason why. What does that mean? That means I am flat ruined in my sin. I am a ruined sinner. That's what you see standing right here. A ruined in sin sinner. I cannot do anything to pull myself out of my ruin. I can't do anything. Every time I try to obey the law, I ruin it. I'm ruined, and all I do is ruin it. Everything I do is so full of sin. I can't preach, but I sin. I can't pray, but I sin. Totally, totally ruined. His death being offered to God, that was my only hope. It was the only way. That's why Christ was crucified. It was the only way. He said, "I am the way." That's why he was crucified. And that's what we preach. We preach why Christ was crucified. We preach exactly who Christ was crucified for. Who was he crucified for? In John 10, he said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Don't you, isn't that so sweet? "The sheep that my Father gave to me." He told a group of Pharisees there, he said, "You don't believe me because you're not of my sheep." He said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." He said, "I'm the good shepherd over my particular fold of sheep, and that's who I lay down my life for." Who was Christ crucified for? His chosen sheep. Why was He crucified for them? It's because they were flat ruined in the filth of their own sin. What did He accomplish in His death for those ruined sheep? What did He accomplish for them? Hebrews 9 says, total redemption to God. Total redemption to God. It says, by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's who we preach. That's what we preach. That's why we preach it. Now, what do we preach after we preach that? Nothing. Nothing. Again, this was quite a few years ago. Right after I got here, I had a man who, he was from somewhere. He sent me an email and he was reprimanding me because I was not turning at the end of the message, I was not turning it to you and then laying the responsibility of you to accept Christ. He said, you're denying man's responsibility in accepting Christ and in accepting this message. And he said in this email, he said, surely you're not just going to tell people what Christ did and then leave it at that. And I responded, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Amen! Exclamation point. That's a great idea. That's good preaching. We don't preach, what are you going to do with Christ? We preach Christ. We just preach Christ and we leave it at that. Whatever this word says about who He is and what He has done and who He did it for and why He did it and what He accomplished in it, that's what we preach. And we leave it at that. Whatever this word says about Him, that's what we preach. This word says, and I can't get my mind around this, but this word says He is 100% God. And it says He is 100% man. I can't get my mind around that. But by God's grace, I preach it. That's what it says about Him. This word says that He is eternal. This word says that a body was prepared for Him and He was born. Get your mind around that. I can't. But I preach it because that's what He says about Him. This word says that He is our Maker. He's our husband. He's our friend. Which one? Again, like the hair. Which? Amen. Exclamation point. If this word says He is the Lamb and He is the priest who offered the Lamb and He is the altar that it was offered on and He is the temple it was offered in. Amen. Amen. Whatever it says, that's what we preach. Go with me back to Colossians 1. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that a sinful man or woman will ever be presented perfect. Only in Christ Jesus. Verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. By God's grace, this will be the only message we ever preach. By His grace, we'll preach Christ and then we'll preach Christ and then we'll preach Christ. Lord willing, I'm going to preach tonight. And Lord willing, I'll preach Christ. I pray so. By God's grace, by His working in us. I pray we will preach Christ till our time is done, to the praise of the glory of His mercy and grace. Thank God He has allowed us to preach Christ. Thank God. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.